right. What do you do when you're faced with life's crisis? What do you do when things go wrong, when things are bad, when things don't go the way that makes you comfortable? Do you get on your knees? What do you do in the midst of a crisis? You know, I've been doing this 60-60 now, 60 seconds every 60 minutes. That timer seems to have a mind of its own. It's like that Energizer Bunny. It just keeps going and going and going. I hope you're using that. I hope you're having fun with that. And I've been, you know, we've been challenging ourselves with that. And I've kind of talked about why should you pray? Why should you do 66? I kind of talk about how can you do it? These next few messages, if you look at the outline, I'm going to get into some nitty-gritty of praying. Some how-to. You know, Jesus was preaching to and teaching his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount. And as he was teaching, they said, well, how do you pray? And he gave what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer, which is really a model prayer. You want the Lord's Prayer, turn to John chapter 17. All right? But this is a great model. So what I want to give you is some models. And this morning, I want to look at a model prayer, some ideas that you can have that you're in the midst of a crisis. How do you pray in the midst of a crisis? We all have them. We've all experienced them. I mean, I was thinking about my life and what's been going on. And I remember when my brother passed away. And many of your church remember that time. And my family has really no close ties outside of me to the church or to God. You know, I'm the source. I'm the one. And so when he had to do his funeral, it's like, okay, who's going to do his funeral? Well, Gary, will you do your brother's funeral? You want to try to preach your brother's funeral? I'm going to tell you, that's a crisis. You know, what am I going to do? And I asked the church to pray for me. And what was encouraging, because as it came close to that time, it was in the mountains. It's almost time for me to start sharing. It's like I was a basket case. And I went down by the creek up in the mountains, my mom and dad's cabin. And I went down by that creek and I began praying. And the thing that gave me confidence was this, that I knew back in this church, there were people praying for me for that time. And I knew that. In the midst of that crisis, I knew there were people praying for me. I remember another crisis in my life that I got this 30-day notice to get out of my house. My landlord at her time decided she wanted her house back. She wanted her daughter to move into it. And her daughter sublet some rooms. I can get all confused about that. But all of a sudden, old-time Salida, 20-some-odd years ago, no places in Salida. They were not building homes then. It was old Salida, just downtown. You're on this side of Zinfandale, there was nothing. Almond orchard, walnut orchard. And I got a 30-day notice. I couldn't find a house. We were chasing leads down. I had people calling me, go find this place, go find this place. And I got it down to 2 weeks to find a house to move into. You know what we found? We found another house that had sold, but he had 1 month. He said, you come here and live there a month. Because after that month, you got to move out because it's sold. So it's like, well, I don't have any other choice, so I moved to that house. I got another month. Talking about a crisis, I got this one. Yeah. Anybody been in those situations? You have those crises in your life? Yeah, you're running late for work, late to go to the doctor, and you run out, you stick the key in the car, and the car goes. Anybody have that kind of crisis? I mean, what do you do when you have these crises? I mean, you have these crises. And what's fun is we have lots of songs that sing about crisis. You know, bridge over troubled water. Oh, you know what? I was told this last night. I want to tell you that I was given permission. They're laughing at me because they told me they went to their music conference and they said, you know what? People remember more songs than they remember messages. And they said, that's bad news for me. But then somebody said, and I won't blame Emily, but somebody said, Gary, sing your message. And I'm not going to do that for you guys, all right? All right. But, I mean, we sing songs. Bridge over troubled water, you know? I was trying to think of the song, and I already forgot, guys. I asked the worship team, what's that song that, I already forgot it now again. Pardon? Trading My Sorrows. I couldn't remember the song. I mean, you know, it's like, we sing songs about that. What do you do when you're faced with a crisis? What do you do when it just seems like, anybody in that boat right now? I am. You know, I mean, it's just, I just got one crisis after another last week. Anybody been there? It's like, oh, man, what do you do? And it's fun because you read the Psalms, which are really songs. And you can read the Psalms, and in the Psalms, over and over again, you find a way to deal with your crisis. I give you an outline. That's what I'm going to do this morning. We're going to go through the Psalms. We're going to hop, skip, and jump through the Psalms and find an outline of prayer. It begins with this verse right here. O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you. My prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. My soul is full of trouble, and my life draws near the grave. God, I'm at my wit's end. I'm done. It's up to here. Is that what that says? You know, it's like, God, I've had it. And the Psalms is full of this. Over and over again. You can start with Psalms 3 and all the way through 149. It's kind of like the first three are one way and the last 150 is a different. But over and over again, you find words about, God, deliver me from my enemies. God, I'm crushed on all sides. God, you don't know all my troubles. I mean, over and over, you just find these phrases. It's amazing. It's something like enemies is used like, 84 times? Some form of enemy. Wickedness? And some form of wickedness is used like 108 times in the psalm. I mean, he's just over and over again, he's just crying out for help. There's 13 psalms that deal with David, the king of Israel, and some historical references in his life. Out of those 13 historical references in his life, 10 of those references is David pleading for help, deliverance. Two are giving thanks that God did something. I mean, it's just, the Psalms is just full of this opportunity. How do we deal with our crisis? What do you do when life, because we all have that, you know, sickness, death, losing our jobs, some are facing cutting salaries. I mean, we all have these foreclosures on homes. I mean, I can go on and on. We all have these crises in our lives and these situations and these things that happen to us. How do we deal with it? What are you going to do? You're going to pull a blanket over your head and just kind of hope and they go away? You know, I'm not going to get out of bed, then I won't have to face it. Well, guess what? Sooner or later, you're going to get up. How do you deal with the crisis in your life? So I want to look at the Psalms, and you get your little outline. I'm going to ask you to pull it out. And we're just going to kind of look at some ways that we can deal with our crisis. So get your outline out and let's look at the first one. I go to God immediately. All right? It's kind of like you're playing Monopoly. Go straight to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. When you're in a crisis, go to God immediately. Look at what the scripture says. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. Right off the bat. You know what we try to do sometimes, though? We try to figure it out. I get in the midst of my trouble. I get in the midst of that crisis in my life, and I try to understand it. Why is this happening to me? And we try to figure it out. We try to work out a plan. We try to understand what's going on. And we try to work, you know. I want to tell you, quit that. As soon as you're faced with a crisis, immediately, the first words out of your mouth should be a cry out to God. God, help! I mean, you just got to stop and you got to turn to God. And it's so easy because we think we can deal with a lot of things on our own. Or at least, maybe we don't think it, but we act like it. You ever done something and you look back on it and you go, what was I thinking? Anybody? Yeah. What was I thinking? Well, I'm going to tell you, this is part, when you have a crisis, I'm going to tell you what you do. Quit thinking out first and go right to God. I'm serious. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to work a solution out. Don't try to understand what's going on. Just say, okay, I don't know, God, right off the bat, all right? Now, I'm not going to say you're not going to do that later, okay? I'm not saying don't think about it later on. I'm not saying don't try to understand it later on. What I'm saying is right off the bat, the first words out of your mouth should be drop to your knees and pray. Drop in your knees. It might be drop to your knees in your heart. I'm not saying just physically. But you need in the midst of a crisis to go right to God. We always try to work it out first. And I want to tell you, stop. Stop playing games. Stop trying to figure things out. And just go to God. When the crisis slaps you in the face, when that situation hits you. We had that notice for a 30-day notice. Gary is a logical, analytical person. That's me. I want to work things out. I want to make things happen. Laura's always over, you know, just, we just, God's going to take care of it. God's going to take care of it. I'm the one that, I'm going to fix this. Anybody in that boat with me? You know, I'll fix this. I can take care of this. You know, what am I going to do? I already had it worked out in my head. Well, listen, if we can't get a place, I'll take all our stuff back up to Sacramento. I'll fill my parents' garage up. They didn't know that, but that was my plan. Yeah. Move my family back up there, and I'll commute down here until we can find a place down here. Gary was working it all out in his head. I'm going to say, quit that. That's not the way. When a crisis strikes you, immediately, number one, right off the start, go to God, all right? That's what the scriptures say. Hear my cry, oh God, listen to me. Look at the next one. I ask God for help. You notice I capitalize help, don't you? Have you ever been involved with someone who needed help that wouldn't ask? They told you all their problems. They told you all the crisis in their life. But they wouldn't ask for help. I want to tell you something. God wants to help, but you got to ask. All right? Because here's what I look at with this. So let me give you a picture of what I want you to hear, understand here. The reason God wants us to ask is not that he wants to lord it over you and rub it in your face. God wants you to ask because he wants you to know where the help's coming from. All right? Because see, when I ask, I got to be humble. I got to admit I can't do this. I've been, one of the main points in this sermon for me, one of the things that's really spoke to me through this whole sermon series is this. I'm not God. I'm not God. I'm not. But I need God. I need God. I can't go through this life. I don't understand how people can go through this world with all the crises in their life and all the struggles and troubles in their life without God. I don't understand how they do it. Well, sometimes I see how they do it. They get angry. They get mad. You know, I can see how people, but I don't understand it. I need God. But what's so amazing to me is I need God, but God wants me. That's what's exciting. That I need him, but he wants me. And that's what it's saying here. I go to God for help. I go right to God for help. It's not my strength. It's not my wisdom. It's not my understanding. It's not me figuring it out. It's God that's going to help me. Look what the scripture says. God, come quickly. I like that. That's why I put help. God, come quickly and save me. Lord, hurry to help me. Anybody feel like that one? God, I don't need you tomorrow. I don't need you the next day. I need you now. Right now. Anybody been in that boat with God? See, we need to go immediately to God and say, help. I need it. I can't do this. I'm going to tell you, I cannot do life without God. All right? I mean, you know, I'm a man. I'm supposed to man up, right? Tim the Tool Man. Yeah. I need God. I'm going to admit it. Yeah. I can do a lot of things, but I need God. I'm going to ask for help. And I love this. I like that. Look how many times it says, quickly, hurry. I love that. It's not like, well, just come when you got time, God. God, don't forget I'm over here. God, in case you missed it, I'm over here in trouble. I love this. God, come quickly. Hurry, God, now! You know, it's okay to pray like that, all right? I don't think we get this. You know, it's like, well, God, I think some of us when we pray, oh, God, you know the troubles. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. You know, God, when you get around to it, you know, if there's nothing else for you to do, God, God, in your spare time, God, can you come over on my side and help me out? I think people pray like that. I think Christians pray like that. And that's sad. Go to God immediately and go and tell, I need help now. Immediately, God. I'm on your doorstep now. I don't need it tomorrow. I don't need it now. I need it now. I like, quickly, hurry, God. Is it okay to pray like that? Yes. In the midst of a crisis, pray. It's a crisis. That means you need help now. I love that. I love the way God says this. Go to God immediately and go to him and ask for help. Just ask him, God, I need this. I need your help. I need what you can do. And then the next one is this. I tell God my troubles. I go to God, I ask for help, and then I tell him what's going on. God, my landlord gave me a 30-day notice, and I got to go. Where do I go? There ain't no place in Salida. Anybody ever had tried to find a place? Sometimes you can't find one. Anybody been in that boat? Yeah. Especially when you don't have much money. You know, you got a nice rent of $350, and everything else is $500, $600. Anybody been in that boat? You know, that's a crisis. That's a crisis. Tell God exactly what it is. I want to tell you something, though. You're not giving God any new information, all right? It's not like, God, I need to inform you. You're not informing God of something he doesn't already know. But I believe you need to let him know exactly what it is you need. All right? Exactly. God, I need a place that I can afford. I'd rather play, God, I need more money. But God, I need to tell him your troubles, exactly what is troubling you. The detail. What is it? You know, you ever have somebody ask for help and you try to do something for them and it's not the help they needed? You know, help me, and you go over there and help them do something, and then they, well, I needed this. Anybody ever? I go to Costco all the time to, not just to shop, to snack, okay? I go to Costco to snack. You know, it's like I got a little, it's like, man, I'm kind of hungry, but I really don't want to eat. Let's just whip in at Costco and see what they got to eat. And but I'll walk up, and as I'm walking up, I see people, you know, they got those big, you know, Costco sells all that little stuff, right? You know, they got these 100-pound bags of dog food, and, you know, and I'll see people trying to struggle with them. Sometimes some ladies or older people trying to struggle with some of these things, and you know, they don't ask for help, but I, you know, do you need some help? There was one of the ladies one time I was walking in, and she had a walker, you know, one of those rolling walkers. We see some of those around our church, you know, she's had this rolling walker. And she's trying to get into her car, and she's trying to fold it up, you know. So I walk over, and it's kind of like, hey, and I don't want to scare them, you know. It's like, you know, can I help you a little bit? And she goes, yeah, you know. So I fold it up, and she's putting it in her back seat. And so I was talking with her, and I said, you know, I got, you know, I do this all the time. I got church members, and oh, you know. So we had a good, I had a good time to visit with her, but she wasn't going to ask. Sometimes we got to volunteer, but we need to ask exactly what do they need. See, God, tell God exactly what's troubling you. What is that crisis? Be specific, all right? Because I think sometimes, you know, God sits there, God, I'm in trouble, and God answers, and it's like, well, God, you know, and it's like, well, that's not what I thought. I wanted this. Here, I'll give you a good illustration. God, I need some extra resources. Anybody in that boat? And God gives you peace instead. God, I need resources. Yeah, I want peace, but I need resources. Look what the scripture says. Oh God, the nations have invaded the land that belongs to you. They have dishonored your holy temple. They have left Jerusalem in ruins. They have given the dead bodies of your servants to the birds for food. They have given the flesh of your godly ones to the animals. Let's go to the next. They have shed the blood of your people around Jerusalem as though it were water. There is no one to bury your people. We have become a disgrace to our neighbors, an object of ridicule and contempt to those around us. God, we're in trouble. And you notice what he did? He outlined all the stuff that's going on. I want to tell you, be specific when you tell God your troubles. And one of the reasons for me for doing this like this, when I tell God to write them down, is when God answers, I can go back and give him praise. And I'm going to talk about that in a little while. Because a lot of times, have you ever been in the boat like this? You pray to God, and God answers, but you forgot you even asked for it. Anybody been in that one? You know, you've asked for some needs, you've laid out some things, and life goes on, and all of a sudden things change, and things get better, and you're blessed, and you forgot. Well, you know what? I forgot I asked for that a year ago. And God finally said, it's done waiting, now it's time. See, I think writing them down is for our benefit. And it's not about God, you know, forgetting us. So tell him what's troubling you. Tell him what there is bothering you. Be specific. when you have those needs, tell him exactly what that need is. God, I need a new job. God, I need an extra $50. God, I need my car to start now. I know some of you, God, I need a parking place in the front. You know, those are okay prayers. We've talked about that, and some of you have shared that with me. That's okay. God, I need exactly, specifically, telling God the things that trouble you that cause a crisis in your life. Go immediately. Go for help right now. Tell him what it is. Hurry, Lord, I need it. And tell him what it is that's troubling you. What's next? I tell God how I feel. Oh. God, I'm at my wit's end. Is that okay to pray like that? Is it okay? God, I am full up to here. Yeah. God, I'm at the end of my rope. God, I'm depressed. God, my heart aches. God, I'm hurting inside. It's okay. We need to tell God how we feel, all right? You need to let God know you're hurting, and these are feelings. You know, feelings are something that's real. Did you know that? Feelings are real. We try to ignore them sometimes. We try to blow our feelings off sometimes. Ah, just suck it up. Yeah. How about this one? Now, anybody? Anybody got a wife that says something like this? Get over it. Yeah. Just get over it. Am I the only one? Where's Laura? Don't tell her. But how do you feel? You need to tell God your feelings. Feelings are real and it's okay. You know, we need to share those feelings. Look at what the scripture says. Lord, how long will this go on? Will you ignore us forever? How long will your anger burn like fire? Remember how short my life is? Why did you create us for nothing? Do you see? I mean, look at that. I mean, it's just like, God, I'm done. I'm tired. It's okay to tell God that, okay? It's okay to lay it at God's feet. It's okay to take it to God. I'm going to give you this permission. It's okay to go whine to God, okay? It's okay to go there and just whine, sit on your pity pot to God. But then I'm going to tell you, get up, okay? Get over it, all right? But take it to God. Take those feelings to God. God, I feel lost. God, I'm frustrated. God, it just hurts right now. Tell him exactly what you're feeling. God, there's a part of me missing. Whatever it is, tell those feelings to God. It's okay. See, I love as I read these Psalms, you know, we face crises. Stuff happens. You know this, let me tell you something. Bad things happen to good people. Did you know that? Isn't that amazing? Bad things, we all know that. We all know bad things happen to good people. I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying as hard as I can. I'm doing all I can. Anybody there? I'm trying. I'm doing the best. I'm trying to be the best I can be. And still yet, things go wrong. And when they do, we feel like we're lost. We feel like somebody's betrayed us. We feel like nobody's there for us. Go tell God. I mean, look at what he was saying. Lord, how long will this last? How long is this going to go on? I've had it. I'm tired. It's over, God. I'm down. I'm depressed. I'm frustrated. Take it to God. Tell it to God. Tell God how you're feeling in the midst of your crisis. All right? I got news for you. Whatever you tell God, he can handle it. All right? God can handle anything you give him. God can take care of anything you give him. Just take it to God. Even your feelings, take them to God. Because they're real and it does hurt. Life does hurt. Life is frustrating. Anybody have sleepless nights? Yeah. Stress? Yeah. Oh, you guys got it made. You guys are so easy. Yeah. We are all there. Take it to God. I'm going to tell you something. When you're having a sleepless night, don't count sheep. Talk to God. Okay? You know, don't sit there and count sheep. Talk to God. I guarantee you, tell him how you feel and you will feel better. Because God cares for you. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11. Go read it. Go read it. Tell God your feelings. Go to God immediately. Tell him you need help now. Now you need help. Tell him how you feel. Tell him all your troubles. What's next? I describe what I want God to do. Ooh. Now, I want you to notice I used a different word. I've been, tell God my troubles, tell God my feelings, but I'm not going to tell God what to do, all right? All right? I'm going to tell God how I feel. I'm going to tell God all my trouble, but I'm going to describe God, this is what I want you to do, all right? Don't try to tell God what to do. That's probably the wrong way to go, all right? Yeah. God has more knowledge. God has more power. God has more strength. I mean, you know, trust him. But describe to God what you need him to do. God, I need a new house. You know, I wouldn't say a new house, maybe not brand new, but a house that I can move into. You know, 30 days is not much time to find a place. Yeah. Then you get it down to 2 weeks, and then you're really in trouble. But describe, God, here's what I need to happen. Look at what it says. Make us happy for as long as you caused us trouble and sorrow. I like that. I want to be as happy for as much trouble as I've had. Do wonderful things for us, your servants, and show your mighty power to our children. Our Lord and our God, treat us with kindness and let it all go well for us. Please let all go well. See what he's saying? God, let things go better. God, make things go better. Treat me better. Bless my children. And I mean, I just look at it. He's just, God, here's some things I want you to do. Describe to God what you want him to do. Don't tell him, but describe. God, I need an extra $50 a month to make it through this month. God, I need a car that I can depend on to get to and from work. God, I need a different job. This one's driving me crazy. So I'm telling my feelings, and they're just, God, just can you meet my need? See, tell God, describe to God. Don't tell him, describe to God how he can answer your prayers. You know, what is it? Because, again, I come back to this, and I really believe, sometimes I ask God for something, and I'm not specific enough, and I get one thing that's not really what I wanted. I told God a long time ago I wanted a Mercedes. Just crazy. You know, Laura wanted a Lexus and I wanted a Mercedes. I got a Mercedes. It's like a 1959 Mercedes. Never ran. It's like, well, I got a Mercedes and I wasn't specific enough. You know, God, I want a, now I could care less about a Mercedes. But tell God, describe to God what it is you need. God, this is what I need. This is where I'm at. God, look here. God, bless my life. Bless my children. I'm being specific, God. I need this. I need that. So just ask God to be there for you. So do you see how you deal with a crisis? Instead of sitting down trying to figure it all out, trying to understand why me. Remember, was it Kris Kristofferson sung the song, Why Me? Anybody remember? Am I dating my age now? Some of you older ones, help me out now. Why me, Lord? Why me? And instead of trying to do all that, wait a minute. Get on the knees, maybe in your heart, maybe physically. And just like it says, go to God immediately. Tell him what you need. Tell him how you feel. Describe what he can do. And just ask him for help. See, in the midst of a crisis, God cares for us. But he's not done yet. What's next? I explain why he should act on my behalf. Why should God do what I'm asking him to do? Because Gary wants it? No, here's why God should do things for Gary. I'm going to lay this out for you. I've got it all figured out. Because Gary deserves it. All right? I've earned that. Not, okay? Just in case you got the wrong idea, it don't work that way. All right? Why should God answer your prayers in the midst of a crisis? Why should God move in your favor? Why should God bless in the midst of those struggles in your life? Why should He? Why would He? We need to come back and give a God a reason to answer our prayer. Look what the scripture says. Write these things for the future so that people who are not yet born will praise the Lord. The Lord looked down from His holy place above. From heaven He looked down at earth. He heard the moans of the prisoners, and He freed those sentenced to die. The name of the Lord will be heard in Jerusalem. His praise will be heard there. People will come together, and kingdoms will serve the Lord. God, answer me because you're going to get the glory in the end. Is that what he's saying? God, answer this prayer so people can see the hand of God. Answer this prayer so God, people will know you're God and I'm not. I've never forgot this. Years and years ago, we had a van, a different van. And we had missionaries, summer missionaries living with us. And we paid our last payment on a Friday, mailed that payment in on Friday. Our missionaries are driving our van, and they went to a baseball game. They dropped all the kids off. And on the way home, these missionaries had a car accident. Some guy, some drunk, ran a stoplight and plowed into our van and totaled our van. I just paid it off. It's paid for. It's over. I just paid it off, and now it's total. God, why me? No more car payment. You know, we got it. Well, why me? Why should God act on my behalf? Why should God respond? You know, what can I ask Him for? You know, we got to explain, God, I need you because I want you to be glorified. And here's what happened. After people at work that Laura works with at the school, one of the boss, the lady that was a supervisor at the time, goes, you watch. When Laura comes in, Laura be smiling like nothing's wrong. And she was talking about Laura and I that, you know, it's just part of life. Can't do anything about it now. And Laura came in, and the ladies in the office were telling Laura the story of what the boss was telling. Because it's for God's what? It's God's glory. You know, I can't do anything about it now. God's going to have to work something out. You know what? God always works things out. Sometimes it's in my favor. Sometimes you got to go through those hard times. I was telling my Sunday school class this morning, I really think we got a problem in America. I think, you know, our idol in America, I think I finally figured this out. It's taken me a long time, but I think I finally figured out what America idolizes. America idolizes two things, consumerism and comfort. We want more, and we want to be comfortable. That's it. Anybody here still don't want more? I want more. But why should God do that? Because I want more? I want a new computer. I want one of those fancy cameras. I want. Well, God, I want that new computer because I can make better videos for church. All right, thank you, Lord. Does that work? You guys are laughing at me. Yeah. Let's be real. When we ask God on our behalf, are we giving Him reasons? Are we giving Him reasons to answer those? See, it's for His glory. It's for His name. God, it's all about me and what I deserve. When you pray in the midst of your crisis, why should God? Why should God ask? So that someday you can stand up in front of a church and give testimony? So that you can tell your kids how God provided and met for needs? And they can acknowledge God later in life? You know, that's a good reason, isn't it? We didn't have anything, but this check came in the mail just at the right time, and we were able to. Anybody been in that boat? Say, give God the glory. Explain why. What's next? I honestly evaluate my guilt or innocence. All right. I did this last week, and I really made this plain last week, and I had to bring it back because I want to make sure you understand this as clearly as I can. If you're living and you're playing with sin, why should God answer your prayers? Okay? I just struggle with this. If you are a parent, I said this last week, and I'm going to come back to it. If you're a parent and your kids are being a pain in the rear end, and they come and ask you for something, what are you going to tell them? No. You behave better and then we'll come and talk about it. Then why do we think I can live like hell and go to God and say, God, help me? Why do we think that? I'm serious. You guys are quiet now. I just don't understand. We think as parents we can do that to our kids, but God doesn't want to do that to us. I think we need to think about those things in our lives. I need to evaluate my, when my crisis comes, am I part of the problem? Yeah. Is it something I did? You know, maybe I didn't do it this time, but maybe I set it up last month with some of my words or some of my actions. That I started the snowball rolling, that it just now ran over me? We need to understand sin is a major problem in our prayers. Look at what the Word says. I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes. O Lord, do not let me be put to shame. God, I'm praying. I'm going to do what you ask. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be the person you've called me to be. So God, don't put me to shame. Take care of me in this crisis. Does that make sense? I mean, I really struggle with this because I talk to people, and as a pastor, people call me all the time, and people who don't even go to church have nothing to do with God. Will you pray for me? Yeah, I'm going to pray for you, but I don't want to tell them. You know, sometimes I do want to tell them. Well, why would he answer you? Look what you're doing. You know, I want to say that sometimes. And I have to tell you, sometimes I have said that. I don't know if that's good or right or wrong, but sometimes I have said that. You know? But I don't think, how do we think we can get away with that? I can do whatever I want and God's just going to bless me. It doesn't work. In the midst of a crisis, if you're living in sin, deal with that. That could be the whole problem of the crisis. And so pray about that. Examine yourself. You know, that's a hard thing. I don't know about you, but I don't like looking at myself. I look in the mirror now and it's like, oh man, what happened? I look like my dad. Yeah. Anybody? I mean, come on, you know, I'm a guy, you know, I don't know, ladies, I don't know if you want to say you look like your mom's, I don't know. You know, it's like, oh, but examine ourselves. We don't like doing that. But listen, if we want God to answer our prayers, we got to examine ourselves. In the midst of that crisis, you're sitting there in that car and it's going, you know, God, I need you right now, God, but is there a reason this isn't starting? Maybe where I'm going to go, I don't need to be right now. I don't know. But deal with that crisis and ask yourself, do I have a part in this? Is there something I did? Now, this next point really could be part of this point, but I kind of pulled it out because it's its own point. Look at what it says. I confess any known sins. It could have kind of gone, these two really go close together. But I got to confess it. And confession, I just admit to God. I mean, I agree with God. That's what confession is. It's agreeing with God. And I'm your servant, but I have wandered away like a lost sheep. Please come after me because I have not forgotten your teachings. I think that's a great passage. Yeah. He sat down and he's looked at himself. And now he's coming back to God and he's saying, you know, God, I'm your servant. But you know what? I'm not where I want to be. Would you come and get me? I love that. That says something. There was a song that when I was in college, we went and heard this group sing over and over. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But praise God, I'm not what I was. I love that. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not there yet. You know, and I'm not what I'm going to be either. Thankfully, I'm not. But praise God, I'm not what I was. I just love that. You know, and so in the midst of my crisis, is there something I need to look at and take before God and confess? God, I agree I've been a jerk. God, I agree I've been doing this. Or God, I agree I've been in the wrong place. Or God, I agree I've said the wrong thing. Or God, my attitude hasn't been right. Or God, the words out of my mouth are not right. I'm just throwing a lot of stuff out there. But do you agree? But God, we need to confess it. Write this verse down there somewhere. It's 1 John 1:9. We read it in our Sunday school class this morning. It's not on the screen. If you confess your sins, he's a just and righteous God, and he will, what? Anybody know that verse? He will forgive you if you confess it. Just confess. In the midst of your crisis, examine yourself and then confess it. Confess it. What's next? I affirm my implicit trust in the Lord. You like some big words I put in there this week? I do have an education. Sometimes I use it. Though I can't spell, all right? I trust God implicitly. That means it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what's happened. It doesn't matter where we're going. It doesn't matter what's going on behind me. I trust God implicitly, period. No questions asked. No discussion about it. It's over. It's done. I trust God. That's what it says. I think that's important. I love this song, and it's a song that sticks with me. And we've sang it in our church. I've decided to follow Jesus. Though nobody goes with me, guess what? I don't care what anybody else here, you guys can leave, whatever you want to do. I'm going to follow God. That's it. I'm going wherever God goes. I've decided when I was 17 years old, I'm going to follow God. Though no one goes with me. The cross before me, the world behind me, I'm following God. That's implicit trust. Look, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. There's only one place you're going to get help. I'm going to tell you something. There's only one place that I guarantee you can find help and resources for life, and that's God. Guaranteed. Trust him implicitly. It doesn't matter. Maybe things are bad right now. But I'll tell you something. It might be bad now, but without God, it can get worse. Trust God implicitly. And lastly, I think this is last, isn't it? I praise God for his deliverance. I thank you. God, thank you. This is why I think we write things down, because we have short memories. We don't remember very well. At least I know I don't. Like I say, a year down the road, oh yeah, I did pray for that. Anybody been in that one? Write it down so you can praise God for it. See, part of our prayer needs to give God praise. God, I don't know why this happened to me. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. Praise the Lord who did not let them chew us up. Oh, I like that. Anybody ever been chewed up by your troubles? Let me give you a little hint here. You don't only just have to worry about the big dogs. You got to worry about the little chihuahuas. All right? The big dogs can bite and that hurts, but a chihuahua just keeps nipping at you and doesn't go away. And it just keeps aggravating you. Both of them are bad, all right? It doesn't matter what size the dog is. When it bites, it hurts. We escape like birds from the hunter's trap. The trap broke and we escaped. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I love it. God, thank you because I got out of this one. Anybody feel like that one? Woo, that was a close call, Lord. Thank you. Praise God when you get out of trouble. We all face crisis. There's a lot here, and I was trying to go through these quickly because there's a lot here. I could go on. This is just a few of the Psalms. I'm going to challenge you. Go home and read the Psalms. There's 150 of them. Just read one a night. Read one a night. You get to the 119th, it'd be a long night, okay? That's a long one, all right? Yeah. But go home and read the Psalms. In the midst of your crisis, you'll be surprised how God can bless you. Right now, times are tough. Life is hard right now. I don't know anybody that's exempt. I really don't. Everybody I talk to, there's stuff going on. Jobs, work, homes, families. I can just go. I mean, it's tough. But here's what I want you to know. God loves you and he cares for you. Thank God he's God and we're not. And we not only need him, but what's so blessing is he wants us. God wants you. See, that's what we can have. So at the bottom of your page, I put it real simple. Look what I put at the bottom of your page. I trust God. Period. Crises are going to come. If you haven't had one yet, if you're so young, you haven't had a crisis yet, I got news for you. Get ready. All right? It's going to happen. And be assured of this. If you've only had one, there's more to come. It's life. And I don't understand how somebody goes through life without God. I just don't get it. God is not my crutch. God is not my co-pilot. God is not someone I just lean on when I'm in trouble. God is my God in my life. And I'm going to tell you something. It makes a difference. Because I trust Him. I don't understand. I don't get it. I cry out why sometimes. But the only thing I know is God's God and I'm not. And I'm going to trust Him. Bad things happen to good people. But I want to ask you, do you trust Him? Do you trust God? I just gave you some ideas on how you can pray. 60 seconds every 60 minutes, how can you pray? Maybe a crisis. You can't pray all these in 60 seconds. But wherever God touches you, you can pray. Do you trust Him today? Have you trusted God with your life? Let's pray.